Well, technology has given us all many more ways to connect with each other these days, and they've been pretty handy during lockdowns, especially when travel and actual face-to-face contact between people's been pretty much out of the question. But when you don't actually have to front up in person to people, are you more likely to be less than 100% honest? Well, experts have long wondered whether digital devices and apps are actually making it too easy for us to deceive other people and either lie a little or a lot or just tell flat-out big-time lies. And if they are they actually making us more dishonest? Well, David Markovitz has been looking into this, and that's all in a day's work when you're an assistant professor of social media data analytics at the University of Oregon. This is a follow-up, your research, to research that was done back in 2004, when I guess technology was a little bit different. But can you tell us about the work of communication researcher Jeff Hancock and his findings that you're following up on in this latest work of yours?
Yeah, of course. So to give a brief history here, so a study back in 2004 evaluated how there are characteristics of different media that can predict how much people lied. And that study observed that the most lies per social interaction occurred over the phone, and the least occurred via email. And they looked at a range of different media, from the phone to email to instant messaging, and also face-to-face communication. So what my work did was I recruited a larger sample and a non-student sample as well, and looked at the number of lies per social interaction that occurred across a range of media, including face-to-face communication, the phone, texting, video chat, email, and social media. What's really critical is that relatively consistent results were found with the 2004 paper. So consistent with that prior work, people told the most lies per social interaction via media that are what we call synchronous, meaning that people can talk back and forth with each other, via media that are distributed, meaning that people are far away from each other physically, and also media that don't contain a record or by default, meaning that the messages go away after they're communicated. And those that fit that description were the phone and video chat.
So I guess now you're following up. I mean, between now and 2004, technology and phones, the devices themselves, have changed an awful lot. But I guess we conclude that human nature hasn't when it comes to being economical with the truth.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And what's also really critical to understand is that there are really adaptive reasons for people to be honest compared to being deceptive. If people find that one individual or a range of individuals are being fairly deceptive in everyday communications, they're not going to want to spend time with that person. So people are predominantly honest, and deception can sometimes undermine interpersonal trust. And what we see here with the evidence when we look at the relationship between deception and technology is that lying is really constrained. People are not lying at large rates. And we also find that there's just small and subtle but systematic differences in how often people tend to lie across media.
And does that mean that if we are predisposed to lie, we're not deeply honest people, will we lie a bit more when the technology enables it, when it's not that synchronous or face-to-face communication, so it feels a bit more remote, we're likely to try it on a bit more? Or can we be corrupted by this? I mean, will the platforms turn honest people into deceptive people because it's so easy to be deceptive?
Well, I don't necessarily think so. And the reason, because if we look at the overall lying rate in the study, so on average, only about 8% of interactions reportedly contained a lie in the study. And that's consistent with a lot of work that I've been doing on deception, where deception is the exception and not the rule for how people tend to communicate. And that is with technology, and that's also without technology. So deception might be facilitated in different ways through technology, but not in terms of an amplified rate. So the flavor might look a little bit different, but not the frequency. So we find quite consistently across probably 20 to 30, even 40 years of deception research, that people typically tell 1 to 2 lies per day. These are typically self-report data, but self-report data is fairly reliable here in these settings. And the critical part is that is a consistent finding across decades. We don't see any movement when we think about the rise of technology. And if technology really had an impact on how much people are lying, we would see a large increase, but we don't in the evidence.
But what do you class as a lie or a deception? Or are they actually different things?
Yeah, they are. So deception is the large umbrella term, but lying is a very specific type or form of deception. So in general, we think of a deceptive act as having two main features. The first is fairly obvious. It has to be false. And the second part is it has to be intentionally false, where you're trying to mislead someone, where you know the truth and they don't. And you're trying to provide a false belief in what you're trying to put forward. So those are mainly two prongs that we look for when we're talking about deceptions. And it's really critical to keep that definition in mind, because otherwise there you might think of key examples in history, but also key examples in everyday life where did the person actually know that what they were saying was false? And if they didn't and they were just going with, let's say, the facts at the time, then it can't be qualified as deception.
But I guess some media, like if we're talking about the phone, a live phone call between two people or a video chat where you can actually see them. I mean, it feels like human nature, you would be less inclined, if you're a basically honest person, that you wouldn't want to lie to someone's face or to their voice if you could see and or hear them, right? Is it because this is the wrong thing to do for the individual who might be telling the lie or making the deception? Or is it that if you can see and hear the person, you're thinking, this could be really costly to the social relationship I've got here if I get found out?
Well, I think you're hitting on something that's really important that we think about in the deception literature quite often, which is what are people trying to accomplish with their deceptions and how might deception actually facilitate or be facilitated by particular goals and goals that vary across audiences and goals that vary across different settings. So in the study, I also recruited why people might be lying, in addition to a range of other studies that I've done that looked into, for example, mobile dating deception. Why do people tell lies to get a date through dating apps? And often it's quite purposeful why people are lying. They're doing it to get ahead sometimes, to be seen as attractive, to be seen as interesting, but also there are some lies that are considered pro-social. So trying to not appear like a jerk, but you just didn't want to harm a relationship with a person, and lying actually helped you accomplish that goal. And the classic example is, let's say we take the setting of mobile dating where you're trying to get a date with someone. People might say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't meet tonight, I have to study for an exam. But really, you went to the bar, you went to the pub or something like that. You wanted to keep the relationship with that person, but right then and there, you did not want to see them. So deception helped that. So we often try to think about goals and what goals are really in line or consistent with one's deceptions, because that's really critical to think about when we're thinking about the relationship between deception and communication, but also here when we're talking about deception, communication, and technology.
So the classic putting up the 5 or 6 or 7 year old photograph on a dating app when I was slimmer and had more hair and that sort of thing, would that be considered pro-social or is that an outright deception?
Well, it is quite interesting. So that would certainly be qualified as a self-presentation lie, because you're trying to make yourself, perhaps if many moons ago you might have been in your own perception, you might have perhaps looked a little bit better or whatever you would suggest compared to how you look currently. If you're trying to provide a false belief in someone else and it's intentional, then yeah, that would certainly be a lie.
And if I said in my profile, my hobbies were horse riding and Mexican cookery, and I can't do either of those things, would that be considered pro-social or relatively harmless? Because that wouldn't really harm the social interaction in the long run?
Well, probably not in the long run. I think they would certainly harm you into getting a second date, perhaps. And the reason why is because in some of the mobile dating work that I've done, for example, people told us their lies and they told us why they communicated them. And for example, a lot of people would say that they try to amplify their attractiveness or how exciting they would be to someone else. And you might be doing the same thing if you told those types of lies. One of my favorite examples was someone saying, oh, I wish I had 100 puppies all around me right now. I really love dogs. And yet they were allergic to dogs. Why did they do that? You can provide a range of different reasons and rationales. But the first one is, I'm just trying to make a connection with that other person because I think they like dogs too. In the long run, like you mentioned, it's probably not going to go well, especially if that person maybe works at a animal shelter, if that person worked with dogs. But yeah, it wouldn't be so difficult to find out why people are telling lies.
So in the end, then, David, do you conclude that although we have, as you're following up from 2004, obviously the range of apps and technologies have mushroomed as well as the devices, all those choices, but it's not the tech that's corrupting us, but does it maybe have the potential to do so if we do have that propensity to deceive or outright lie, that actually the whole range of devices means the certain apps where, you know, this is enabled will be the ones we'll gravitate to?
I don't think it really has the potential to corrupt us unless corporations perhaps have malicious intent and we have no say in the matter. But I would essentially suggest that just because technology is involved doesn't mean that deception has to be involved. Deception is very goal-oriented, and because of that, we're not doing it just because. We do it for a purpose, and it's intentional. Without that, our interactions would go awry, and no one would want to be around us, and that's just not adaptive for us as humans from an evolutionary perspective, but also from a perspective of how do we get along in the world in a very complex and convoluted time. So hopefully one of the things that comes across here is that there is a perception that because there is technology, we must think of deception being involved, but that's a misperception. And I think that hopefully some folks will come around to that at some point soon.
Well, that's good. And a bit of enlightened self-interest kicks in as we get used to it and perhaps use them better. But that brings me on to my final question, David. Does the sort of research you're doing here mean that could it actually be used to redesign either existing apps or technologies or, you know, ones perhaps yet to be enabled for the future, knowing people's habits better? Could we actually create things that actually serve people better? But, you know, potentially, you know, I guess the ones we should be really concerned about are the ones who could be harmed by the deception that, you know, the people in the minority are predisposed to utilize.
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. So a lot of the evidence that's here in the study that I conducted and also in deception research in general is mostly correlational. It's not causal. So we don't know exactly if the design of particular technologies or the layout of particular platforms is actually causing a change in how people behave in their deception behavior or their deception tendencies. We need to run more experiments to essentially figure that out. But I think what you're hitting on is really crucial, is that there tends to be a wall that divides users and creators of technology. I think that wall needs to be lowered a bit because you could imagine humans just sort of behaving in ways that the technology presents to them. So we use apps or we use platforms just because they are available without really sort of any say on how they're developed or why they're developed. But there could be a really beautiful conversation that occurs between if there are features or aspects of technology that we identify could maybe, let's say, facilitate malicious behavior or facilitate deception, then we should probably do a lot to prevent that from happening. And if that includes adjusting the design of particular technologies, or if that adjusts how often people might use technologies, there's really important work going on right now about the link between how much people are using technology and their well-being. The headline here is that there's really small effects on well-being, and people have a big moral panic about it, but the evidence just doesn't support the panic, actually. So I do think we need to be thoughtful about design of technology, but realizing that people still do have a lot of value that they gain from it. We shouldn't be throwing out technology just because of headlines we see, but we still should be taking this very seriously.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you're looking into it, David, and I do hope you keep following this entanglement of technology and our human but regrettable propensity to, from time to time, lie or deceive, even if we think we're being pro-social. Thanks so much for your time this morning, David.
No, thanks so much, and have a great one.